Thank you, Pastor Mike. It's a real joy to be with you folks here again at Lakeview and to celebrate the 4th of July with you. And I trust that the Lord will minister to us as we wait in His presence. I was preaching at my home church last week for a few days, and this fella had not met me before, and so when he found out that I had been a long time part of that church, he said to me, "How old are you?" I said, "Brother, it's really none of your business." I knocked him back a little. I said, I'm kidding. We've come down the road a long ways, haven't we? And I've come a long ways with you folks, down the road with you who make up this body. And I count it a blessing. I want to thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to come. I have persecuted the saints here on numerous occasions. And I'm glad to be back. I know you're going to be wide open as soon as the service has concluded, but I put some of my newsletters back on the table. We just got these from the printer. And they made a mistake and printed them twice. And they didn't charge me for the last group. So get three or four of them if you'd like. Pass them out. I don't have storage room. And then I have our book on the book of Acts. Your pastor has left the premises. I think he thought I was going to say something about the book. He suffered through a lot with me to help me get the book in print. And I have it there on the table tonight. 20 studies out of the book of Acts. We call it a commentary that scares some people. So I need to explain, it's my teaching in class and my preaching in churches throughout the book of Acts. I was going to thank you for all the work you did, but I saw you left as soon as I started to say something about it. Should I tell them what you said? They've heard worse. When we finished the book, he said, "I don't know if I'll ever read the book of Acts again." I tell you, we had some battles with it, but we survived. And we have it available if you'd be interested. I'm reading tonight from Colossians chapter number 1. And I've already received the verdict. I understand that we're moving right along. That means get with it, Tom. So I'll ask you to pray for me as I bring the message tonight. Let's have just another brief word of prayer. Our Father, accept our gratitude for this time tonight. We are thankful for this privilege to serve Thee. We thank Thee for this place, this body of believers, the dear man of God that you've put here through these years, his family. We ask thy continued blessing upon the work. Now we pray that our time together tonight might be profitable and God-honoring. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read from this wonderful book of Colossians, and I'm going to pick up in the middle of a section. That's not my favorite way to do, but that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to begin in the middle of this Christocentric portion, this Christ-centered emphasis the Apostle Paul is inspired to give us in Colossians chapter number 1. I'm reading verses 13, 14, and then I'm going to accentuate verse number 15. Who? Speaking of God, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, look at verse 15, the first phrase in particular. Speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The word image has become maximized in my thinking. And I'd like to preach for a few minutes tonight on Christ, the image of the invisible God. Now basically, we're going to have a word study. We'll come back to this particular term in just a moment. You know, I was not familiar with the term icon until computer days. And then I learned that all these little emblems on my screen were icons, and I was to double click them or whatever to get them in motion. Well, I have learned that this name image is the Greek term from which we get our word icon. In fact, it is spelled in the Greek E-I-K-O-N. Ours is spelled I-C-O-N. Same idea, icon. Could I say, and say it reverently, Jesus then is set forth as the icon of the invisible God. And I want to uphold him tonight in that light. The idea is he is the figure, the likeness of God. And so with his help tonight, I'd like to give three simple thoughts on this word and what it confronts us with. I want to begin by saying, since the word suggests likeness, the Lord Jesus must be referred to then as the resemblance of God. No, not in the physical realm. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, but that was a manifestation of his humanity, his manhood. But this word, the image of the invisible God, indicates more than manhood. This is Godhood, is it not? This is more than humanity. This is deity. And so he is like God, as the word image suggests. He is the resemblance of God. Now, my question was, how is Jesus like God? How is Jesus the resemblance of God? And I have pinned down a couple of words. First of all, he resembles God in his name. You'll remember when God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. Moses said, "You want me to go and deliver your people? What am I to tell them? Who will I tell them? Send me." And God revealed himself as the great I Am. He said, "You tell them, I am that I am." It indicates his eternal presence, the continued presence of God. I am that I am. Well, that is such a hallowed name. That is such a beautiful manifestation of God. How would Jesus ever be like God in his name? Well, we have his great I Am statements. Just as God said, "I am," so Christ, the resemblance of God, like God in his name, said, I am the bread of life. He also said, I am the light of the world. He added in John chapter 10, I am the door. He also said, I am the good shepherd. And then in chapter 10, in chapter 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. That was concerning Lazarus. I love that because as the resurrection, that'll get Lazarus up. As the life, that'll keep him up. The same Christ who saves us, sustains us in his powerful life. Then in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the vine, or I am the way, the truth, and the life. In chapter 15, he said, I am the vine. Jesus would dare to use the I am name of God when he gave these selfies, can I call them that? These selfies of himself. Self-revelations. I am, I am, I am. And so as the image of the invisible God, Jesus bears the resemblance of God, not in external, in an external way, but in his name, or names if you prefer. And then of course, he also resembles God in his nature. You remember he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he was asked by his disciple, Lord, if you'll show us the Father, that will suffice us. And he sort of rebuked Philip. He said, Philip, have I been with you this long time? And you do not realize that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That is, I have the very nature of the Father. I have the nature of God. Thus he could say, you believe in God, believe also in me. I had the privilege of speaking at a funeral while I was in Florida recently. I was asked by the funeral director if I minded speaking. And I said, well, certainly not. I'll be glad to. He said, well, there'll only be a handful. He said, this lady lived long enough that she had no relatives left. She was 93. And she had a stepson, a daughter-in-law through him, and some grandchildren. And I tried my best to communicate with those dear people, but they had no knowledge of God. They had no concept of divine matters. And I felt like even when I was talking about Jesus being God, that it went right over their heads. And when I tried to console them or comfort them, they sort of puffed out their chest and said, we're doing fine. I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine. It's like they did not understand my role and my purpose. I was there to point them to Christ and to try to encourage them. However, we who know the Lord, we're convinced that if you have seen him, you've seen the Father. He is like God in his name. He is like God in his nature. Now, even on another occasion, he said, I and the Father am one. I mean, how much more could he be like God if they are one? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are the great three in one and the great one in three. And Jesus echoed that principle. I would say a second thing about, give a second emphasis about Jesus, the image of the invisible God. As the image of God, the word image meaning figure or likeness, Jesus is the resemblance of God. He is like God in his name and in his nature. Secondly, as the image of God, that is, what is seen on earth of the God who is in heaven, what is visible as far as being in the flesh, and that correlates with the invisible God. I would say, secondly, Jesus then, as the image of the invisible God, is the representation of God. Now, we know that now Christ is representing you and me, his believing people, before the Father. But when he came to this world, he represented his Father to the sons of men. Now, how did he represent God? Yes, he's more than a representative. Yes, he's more than a resemblance. But I'm trying to build on this word, image. An image is not the coin, or is not the ruler. It's the signet on the coin. It is the portrait on the coin. In that way, it's a representation of the ruler or whoever is on the coin. So Christ, being sent by the Father and here on this earth to do the will of the Father, he was a representation, the representation of God. I'm going to use two words, and both of them come from John's gospel. I'll read from John chapter 7, first of all. In John chapter 7 and verse 16, Jesus reveals that he is a representation of God in his word. He represented the Father by what he said. John 7 verse 16 reads, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." In other words, what I teach is what the Father has said for me to teach. I am representing him in his words, or in his word. In chapter 8, we have another reference along this line. Verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." His words magnified him as a representation or the representative of the Father. He did not speak some unique phrase, statement of his own accord, but it was what the Father had taught him. And so he represented the Father in that light. I've thought some today about a representative of our country going to a foreign country. He really is giving a report, or he is representing a representative of our government, or a representative of our president. He's going in the name of another. Christ came into this world as a representative of the Father in his word. What he said was what the Father said. What he spoke was what the Father spoke. Then You might look with me in this verse in chapter 8. I wanted to read verse 29 as well as verse 28. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Oh, brother. He was on a mission to glorify the Father. And he did so in his words as a representation of God. And then I would say as well, as John records back in chapter number 5, he was not only a representative or the representation of God in his words, but in his works. Look at chapter 5. These are interesting phrases. Chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. That is, what I'm doing is what the Father was doing. I am carrying out his works. I am his representative. I am of God, and I am for God. I am speaking his words, and I am doing his works. Look at verse 36 also. In John chapter 5. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. His works were the representation of the Father's work. He is the image of the invisible God, the icon of God, the likeness of God. So we underline that as the image of the invisible God, he is the resemblance of God. Now, I've given two ways in his name and in his nature, but in his entire being, he had resemblances, likenesses to God. And then I've underlined that since he was sent of God and is the image of the invisible God, the earthly manifestation of the heavenly reality of the Father, the person of the Son in the stead of the person of the Father, he is the representation of God, both in his words and in his works. Now, I must go a step further. He is the image of the invisible God. That is, he is not only the resemblance of God and the representation of God, but he is the full revelation of God. I've already quoted his verse, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. May I remind you that no man has seen God at any time except in the person of Christ. I was witnessing to this man on one occasion, and I asked him if he was a Christian. Oh, he said, yes. You better believe I'm a Christian. He said, I've seen Jesus. And I began to get a little eerie of him. He said, I'll tell you, I filled up my bathtub and I was in the bathtub and Jesus appeared to me over the shower head. Well, I tried not to be mean or rude or ugly, but I told him that the Bible didn't say anything about a shower head Jesus. The Bible says much, however, about a Jesus who is God and who came to die for our sins, not just to show us some vision, but he came to die in our stead and to offer himself an offering unto the Father that pleased the Father and that satisfied him in his travail. and who would save us because he has fully satisfied the Father's wrath and even the law of God. And so Jesus is the revelation of God. You know, there are those religionists who teach that Jesus is like God. They believe he is like God, and they think that he is so much like God that God has given him some kind of an exalted status in heaven because he was such a, forgive me for my carnality and my bad attitude, but because he was such a good boy here on earth. I want to tell you, I agree with them in a measure. Jesus was and is like God. However, this is not what that to which they would agree. But he cannot help but be like God because he is God. 100% God. All God. Totally God, completely, entirely God. And so he is the revelation, the unveiling of God. In fact, we have in John chapter 1 this interesting text that tells us that Jesus, the basic idea is that Jesus hath revealed him. Listen to the verse. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. G. Campbell Morgan says then, if Jesus has declared him, he is the exegesis of God. That is, he is the full unveiling of God. I say this is true when we think of his person. Notice it does not say that he is the image of some angelic being. Now, the Colossians were having difficulty with this matter of Christ's deity. They said he might be an angel or an emanation from God, but some of them could not accept the fact that he was God. The Holy Spirit moves upon Paul, and he says he is not the image of an angel. He is not the image of a heavenly being, created being. He is the image of the invisible God. He then is the revelation of God's person. So I said, well, I know Jesus died on the cross, but I can't wait to get to heaven so I can see God. Listen, Jesus is God. The one who saves us is the God of the universe, the God of redemption, the God of all grace, the God of hope, the God who is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The Lord Jesus, I think you understand what I'm doing. I'm doing my best to brag on Jesus, to make my boast of Christ here tonight. Ah, beloved, he is not just like God, and he did not just come to represent God. He is the revelation of God. He is the revelation of God's person. In fact, we could go further and say he is the revelation because he's the revelation of God's person. He is the revelation of God's perfections. When we speak of God's perfections or his excellencies, we're referring to his attributes, his traits, his characteristics. And the same God who worked with people in the Old Testament in Christ worked with people in Christ's earthly ministry. And in this hour works with you and me through the person of the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus is the revelation of God's person. He's the revelation of God's perfections. Let me put it like this, somewhat of a repetition, but let me magnify it in this way. If you want to know about God's love, look to Christ. If you want to know about God's holiness, look to Christ. In fact, you know, there's some folks that want us to believe that they're so holy. If there's any holiness about any of us, it's in Christ who lives within us by Spirit. It's not in ourselves. It's not in what we've done or what we have not done. But it's in Christ, in what He has done, and in that He lives in us. The Holy Son lives in God's redeemed people. And so, if you want to know about the holiness of God, look to Christ. Or, I love to use this term, if you want to know something about the righteousness of God, look to the righteousness of Christ. We cannot be accepted with the righteous God apart from the righteousness of His Son. Christ, the righteousness of God, gives us status with the Father, gives us acceptance with God. I would say if you want to know something about the mercy of God, look to Christ, who had compassion on needy lives and had mercy upon sinful souls. I say, beloved, He, Christ, is the full, total revelation of God. Now, I know good people who have trouble with this. They say, well, no, He couldn't be the full revelation of God according to the Scriptures. We beheld, when He was made flesh, John said, we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul said about Christ that He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in Him dwelleth the fullness of God. He is the revelation of God's person. He is the revelation of God's perfections. I might add, if you want to know something about the wrath of God, look to Christ. For men will not only be confronted with the wrath of God in the ages to come, but as well the wrath of the Lamb, none other than the Lord Jesus. He is the revelation of God. I come back to our word. The text reads, who is the image, the icon of the invisible God? How could this be? Well, He's like God. He has the resemblance of God. And then He is of God and for God. He was the representative or representation of God. And He was God in the flesh, the revelation of God. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Lean on Christ. He is our all. He is our all. You've heard it said about a little boy. That boy is the spitting image of his daddy. Or, that boy is the spitting image of his mother. Someone else might say, boy, that dad will not die as long as that boy is alive. May I say, beloved, this can be applied. This is applicable to Christ. I want to say He is the perfect, if you want to use the word spitting, image of the Father. And He, the Father, will not die. Of course, He's eternal. But we could say He will not die as long as Christ is alive, for Christ is eternally one with the Father. Who is the image of the invisible God. My oldest daughter came to the three services at my home church last week, and one man had never seen her. And he said to her, "You have to be Tom Hayes' daughter." She said, "Yes, sir, I am. I'm his oldest daughter." "Then I came into the church," he said, "I just saw you 60 years ago, 50 years ago. I saw you." I said, "You did?" "Yes, your daughter's here." I said, "You're right. Bless her heart. She has to bear all of the mockery and the fun and the laughter because she bears the image of her father." The Lord Jesus came as the image of the Father. And you and I must see him. There's these many particulars that are mentioned of him. I would like to read one other or two other verses. How do you know that he is God, Tom? "For by him," verse 16 reads, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." And then here's a very strong word. "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." He is as eternal as the Father. May the Spirit of God take this word study tonight. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, and somehow help us to bow to him afresh. He is the full revelation of God. May our hearts quietly worship him, or if you need to, loudly worship him. Let all the redeemed of the Lord say so. Our Father, accept our gratitude for this special time together tonight. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy truth. We thank thee for access into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way. We come to thee tonight in the merits of our crucified, buried, risen, ascended Lord. Now we ask that thou wouldst seal these truths to our hearts. May you be exalted in the remainder of our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.